You have not come here by accident. You are not wasting your time. You are here because I want you here. There are many others who should be here, but they did not hear what I was saying to them. They did not allow me to lead them. But you are here for a purpose. I'm going to minister to you in a way that I will not be ministering to anyone else who is here. I will be working with you all this week to help you redeem every moment you are here. Not just during these services, but when you are away from these services. For I have already planned out divine encounters where you are going to meet people that you've never known. And these are people who are going to sow into your life. They will be sowing my word and my life into your life. Tune your ears to my voice all this week. Listen to what I say unto you. For some of you, you do not need to fast this week. You need to fellowship. Because I am going to speak to you through my servants over meals. Do not think I am telling you it is wrong to fast. But some of you need family fellowship more than you realize. I am going to touch your life. And if you will receive everything that I do, not just during the services, but during the greeting times, and during the times in between the services, even during the evenings, you're going to leave this week a changed person. Not just temporarily changed, but a permanent change that I have ordained from the foundation of the world. This is our time of fellowship, says the Lord. This month, there are a couple of very, very important anniversaries taking place. One of them, I did some research, and there's a little bit of debate as to the exact specific date on this one. But evidently, the general consensus is that on October 31st of this month, will be the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed his theses there on the church doors in Wittenberg. And, you know, a long story short, we are a byproduct of all of that, of what he did. 500 years, my goodness. And there's another special anniversary. Pastor Bronk and I are celebrating 20 years. Hallelujah. Now, let me clarify. Hold on here. I am leaving this conference now. They're not only doing it, they're bragging about it. Candy says, I didn't know. 20 years ago this year, Pastor Bronk and I attended our very first Prayer and Power Conference here at this church. 20 years ago. And man, it's just been incredible. And that conference was actually the March 1997 conference, but, you know, we can still celebrate the 20 years, praise God. And I was thinking about all of that, how that, you know, it's been 20 years since we came here. Now, I had heard of Pastor Dave beforehand and listened to his teachings, and so had Pastor Bronk. But 20 years of actually being here, I have a question. How many of you are age 35 or younger? Just lift your hand. Okay. Now, what that means is when Pastor Bronk and I were attending our first conference, you were age 15 or younger. Now, I'm not saying that to prove how old I am. Here's what I'm getting at. There's a reason that Pastor Bronk and I came here. It's not so much because of any healings that we saw. I mean, quite frankly, you can go to a lot of camp meetings and see healings. You can see things happen.
The primary reason we came here was because of the teaching that we heard coming from Pastor Dave Roberson. We heard the Bible opened up like we'd never heard it. Now, we had both been in ministry for years, and we had both heard a lot of preachers in our time. But when we heard Pastor Dave begin to teach, there was something about it that just captured our attention. And what we did, and we talked about this, what we did, we got into the Bible to find out, okay, what is this guy teaching? I mean, it sounds really good, but is it right? So we got into the Bible, and we began to search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Well, guess what? They were so. Now, we listened to every teaching series that he had. Now, I was back in the days of cassette tapes. How many of you know what a cassette tape is? A bunch of old people in here, praise God. We listened to every single teaching series he had at least one time. At least one time. And not only that, but we would listen to the non-series sermons, like the regular Sunday morning sermons. And we feasted on this and feasted on that. And we're byproducts of not just what we heard, but of the application of what we heard. And therein lies a huge difference. Now, I'm going to ask another few questions here. Don't anybody raise their hand. Keep your hands down. Those of you who are 35 or younger, why are you here? Why are you? No, don't answer. Why are you here? Are you here because, well, there are a lot of people you like to see every year? Kind of like a reunion, and that's okay. But why are you here? See, for Pastor Bronk, his wife Candy, my wife Kathy, and me, when we come here, it's not simply for the fellowship. I mean, we need that. We want it. It's not simply for the fellowship, but it's also for what God is going to do through the services. And you say, well, you know, but, you know, Pastor Dave, well, he's not up here teaching. That's true. But to dismiss what is being taught as being not worthy of our ears, you're missing something. Going back to that question, why are you here? Now, let me expand on this a little bit. Those of you who are 35 and under, have you ever listened to Pastor Dave's teaching series titled Satan's War Machine? Have you ever listened to it? Have you ever listened to Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God? Have you listened to that teaching series? Have you listened to the teaching series titled Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery? Yes. Have you? Now see, the only hands going up are the old people hands. But no, seriously, you don't have to respond to this. And what about the king of all teaching series? Hey, this is my service. The Born Again Trail. To take it even further, have you ever listened to any of Pastor Dave's teaching series? If you're 35 and under and the answer is no, then my next question is, why not? Why haven't you listened to this? Because that's why we're here. That's why Gary Carpenter is here. That's why Alan Taylor is here. That's why we're here. It's not just anointing. It's anointed teaching. It is line upon line, in-depth teaching. That is what has drawn us. And that's why Gary and Sue Carpenter are still here after all these years. Now, for a lot of you, you weren't around in what I'll call the early days. And for me, the early days would, you know, go back even into like 1996 and so forth, where Pastor Dave would be ministering and the teaching anointing would come on him, if you will. And he would unlock scripture in a way that I've never heard anybody. I mean, I've never heard anybody open up the Word of God the way that he did when that teaching anointed would come all over him. And over the years, that began to shift. And he didn't do as much teaching as he used to. And that's not wrong. Because one of the things that he shared back in those early days was that, and I'm going to put this in my own words, he had a responsibility to train others so they could rise up and be doing a lot of the teaching, and he would be doing a lot of ministry. Now, that's kind of a brief, not word-for-word summary, but, I mean, that's kind of, you know, how it worked. And so a lot of you have never been around when that anointing would move through him for the teaching. Now, that anointing, other than being live in the service, the essence of that is captured in those teachings. So if you have not listened to those, what has drawn you here? You can say, well, you know, it's Brother Gary's teaching. Well, praise God for that. Pastor Bronk's teaching. You know, Brother Alan, Brother Nathan. I don't know, however you would respond. But if you haven't listened to what got all of us to this place, you're missing something. Now, I'm not just, you know, I'm not trying to pump sales. I don't even know if they sell anything here. Because you can download it from the website and there's no charge. Hallelujah. If you haven't listened to those, you need to. You need to listen to those. That's how serious it is. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for all that teaching. You might say, well, yeah, but Brother Martin, you know, I mean, that all sounds well and good, but you don't understand. See, I work a full-time job. Well, I wasn't born in full-time ministry. I spent a lot of time, full-time employment, secular employment, and then also listening to the teachings, listening to the tapes. If you have a job where you're able to listen to something other than or along with doing your job, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you can do that, man, shut the radio off. Shut the Christian radio station off. Let me tell you something. Worship music is great, but worship music is not teaching. You need the teaching. You need the teaching. We're going to get into this here in just a moment. You need the teaching. And if you have an occupation to where you're able to listen while you're doing your job, guys, you need to do this. Trust me, you need to do it. And then when you get away from your job, what I would do, I mean, I'd sit down and I would listen to the tape and I'd follow along in scripture, pray softly in tongues, and take notes as I went. You need this. You need this. That's how serious this is. And if you doubt what I'm saying, talk to Pastor Bronk. You know, talk to Brother Gary, talk to Brother Alan, talk to Brother Nathan, talk to those that you know who are up here. Talk to Tim, talk to Brother Tim. Talk to Daisy. You know, Daisy's been here forever. She was here before Pastor Dave got here. No. But Sister Daisy, she's probably been knowledgeable to Pastor Dave longer than us. And she'll tell you the same thing. It's not just the healings that we've seen. It's not just the miracles. But it's the depth of the word that is delivered. That's why she's here. So there are many voices who would bear witness to this same thing. You need this. You need this. It's going to carry you through to the end, and it will help protect you and guard you against the Matthew 24 false prophets who are in operation today and continuing to rise up. You need it. You need it. Now, one of the things that had... I don't want to say, well, what's the right word? I had questions. I had questions. It had to do with, I mean, for years it was like this, and what I'm getting ready to share with you, I'm guessing every person in this room can relate to. And the questions were these. How in the world did those guys in the Old Testament know God the way they knew Him? They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't even born again. How did they? You go through and you read some of this, especially some of the things that David wrote, and you get the impression that he and God were roommates. How in the world were they like that? How did they know God like that? It's like they were closer to God than most Christians today. How is that possible? And they weren't born again. Well, right along with that, you read about there in the New Testament, how that, you know, here the apostles, like instantly, they're superheroes. How did they do that? You know, we look at ourselves and think, man, I've been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost for 11 years, and I still am not anywhere near where those guys were. How was that possible? How could they stand up and teach the way they taught when they were so new to all of this? Because remember, when they were walking with Jesus, they were lost. They weren't born again. Oh, listen, there are people out there that are going to teach you the apostles were born again while they were ministering with Jesus here on the earth, and that's why they were able to do what they did. Uh-uh. No, beaver biscuits. That is not true at all. It's a lie. You can't get born again until the avenue for salvation is there. And that's Jesus Christ. Until he completed his work on earth, nobody could get born again. So here he's traveling around with a bunch of lost people. And then as soon as he's gone, there they are. It's like, how? How did this happen? And, you know, for years I'm wondering, what's the deal? And, you know, you have to watch yourself because you can start thinking, well, there was something really special about them that's not special about me. You know, they were top shelf and I'm leftovers. You know, they were, you know, prime rib and they were filet and I'm bologna. That's just the way it is. No, that's not true. That's not at all true. So what was it? What was going on? Well, look over in John chapter 12. We're going to start there with this. Because this is going to help a lot of people. Well, it helped me. And I'm believing it will help you as well. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." All right, so here's the image. Jesus goes around and he's ministering. He doesn't just teach what he thinks the people need. He teaches what the Father shows him to teach. He says, I don't speak of myself. I speak what I hear. All right, that's a lesson for all of us preachers. And people who aren't yet preachers. We don't speak what we think. You know, how many of you remember that really old song, Silence is Golden? Okay, there's a message in that. That song, really, you can find the essence of that song in the book of Proverbs. Well, nevertheless, Jesus spoke what he was supposed to speak, meaning what he said originated with the Father and passed through him. Now look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And take a look here in verse 63. Jesus says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." Now look at the last part of this. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He says, the words that I speak unto you, another way we could say that would be, the teaching that you get from me, it's spirit and it is life. Or it is alive. Alive how? Alive with the life of God. So Jesus only spoke what he heard, but what he heard came from God, came from the Father. And then what he spoke, it was life. So therefore, the words of the Father released to a person are words of life. Are you following me? Said another way, whenever the Father opens his mouth and speaks, he is releasing life in word form. Not just when Jesus was here, going all the way back to Genesis, and really before, you know, but nevertheless, from Genesis on, for our point of view, every time he opened his mouth and began to speak, all through Scripture, all through history, every time he opened his mouth and spoke, he was speaking life. Always. Now, this is very important for us to remember. He was always speaking life. Always. So, here we have all these people in the Old Testament. They were not born again. They were lost. They did not have what we refer to as the new nature, that change of life that happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They're lost, old sin nature on the inside, but God is speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking. Now, what we have in our hands here, the Bible, the Old Testament, that's life. It is God's life that he spoke forth. Even all the things about, you know, 30 cubits and 50 cubits and all that kind of stuff, the genealogies, all of that. When he spoke this, it was his life that he was releasing. He was speaking his life. So you have all these people down here on earth, and it starts out with, let's just, the first five books of the Bible. Now, that's all they had. The first five books, and really, they were living during a time when God was speaking these things forth. So, to try to keep this simple, he speaks and releases the first five books of the Bible. And these people down here, specifically the Jews, they hear this, they have this, but where is it? It's all in their minds. It's all in their minds because there's nothing down here in their heart to receive it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're not born again. They don't have the life of God on the inside of them. So all of this word that they're receiving, it's being stored in their minds. Well, as we go forward beyond the first five books of the Bible, you end up with, you know, the prophets begin to speak. And you have, you know, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and all the way through, even unto Malachi. And God is speaking. And as he continues to speak, the Jews, they're learning more and more. And as the young boys are attending what, you know, the schools that they would attend, as more is given, as more prophets speak, as more is being written, well, that then is incorporated in what is taught to all these boys that are growing up. So not only are they required to memorize the Pentateuch, the first five books, but the law and the prophets are now. All of this is added to the information that's being delivered unto them. And as they are hearing this, God's life in this word form, this written form, is being delivered unto them. But there's nothing on the inside of their hearts to receive it. It's all up here in their minds. So all of this information, or another way to say it, all of this life is stored in their heads. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all up here. It's all there. But it is the life of God. But it's all up here in their head. Now, this is the basis from which they served God. They served him not out of a born-again spirit. They served him out of a soul that had been impacted by the life of Almighty God. That was all they had. And look what they did. Look at the relationships they developed with God out of that information, out of the soulish part of themselves, yet stored with all of God's life, with his word. It's there. That life is in them, in their minds, in their soul. And so it's out of that that they developed a relationship with God as close as they could possibly develop it. The prophets would hear his word, and then they would stand up. And when you go back and you read in the Old Testament what some of these prophets were saying, you'd think they were living today. Turn back to God, repent, and on it would go. Get away from the sin. You'd think these guys were born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, but they weren't. They were serving God out of their soul, yet with a mind filled with the life of Almighty God. And when you read about what David wrote concerning worship, you think he was born again. All of the things, I realize so much in the Old Testament, you're very prophetic, but yet it was still the life of God and it was still on the inside of them. And so David's writing about worshiping the Lord, and you'd think, my goodness, this guy, he's in one of the services at the prayer center. He's down there at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee. Why he's there at Grace Christian Center in Dayton. I mean, you know, the worship and the praise, that those guys back then were worshiping God with more intensity than a lot of Christians today. And they were doing it completely out of a lost nature, but a soul that was sold out to God. That's absolutely incredible. Then when you go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read what all of those people did by faith, but they were lost. All of them. Not one of those people was born again. And yet it lists all the accomplishments that they were able to complete and do and so forth by faith. That means God's word had an impact on the faith of a lost person. Well, obviously that has to be true, because if it didn't, how could we even get saved? You know, we in our lost condition hear the word of God, and then by faith in a lost condition reach out to his grace and we're born again. Okay, now, carry this forward to the apostles. Here they are. They're lost. Now, all of them had been raised, you know, going to Jewish school and all of that, and they'd heard the Pentateuch, and they'd heard the prophets. And so all of this information, all of this teaching, all of this word has been sown into their lives, but they're not born again. Yet in their minds, all of this life has been deposited into them, and it's been sown into them and sown into them. However, in walks Jesus. And now for the next 3.5 years, he's doing two things. One, he is correcting the doctrinal error introduced by the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. And number two, he's releasing kingdom life in word form through his teaching. Through his teaching. Because it says that he went from place to place and he's teaching about the kingdom. So now here the apostles are, they're lost. And Jesus is correcting error. And they have all of this word in their minds from the law and the prophets. But now Jesus is teaching them kingdom truth. They're not born again. But he's releasing kingdom truth and they're hearing this. And if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are going to be times where it talks about how that when he was alone with them, that he expounded on things, or he would teach more things, or explain some things and so forth. So they're listening to this. They're trying their best to understand it. And there were times they didn't understand things. It's like, well, could you tell us a little bit more about such and such? It's, you know, remember the parable of the sower? And they said, Jesus, we're kind of clueless on this one. And he said, you know what? If you don't get a hold of this parable and understand it, how in the world are you going to understand any parable? And so he breaks it down and he begins explaining it to them. Now see, when we read things like that, we're reading it from the position of somebody who's born again. But remember, none of those people were born again. Not one of them. So, using this imagery, God's life relative to the law and the prophets has been stored in their minds. It's like this wealth of God's life is stored up there in this treasure chest, if you will. And then Jesus, he begins introducing teaching about the kingdom. So now, for them and other people that heard, he's introducing and they're storing in their minds the life words or the living word of the kingdom. You follow this? It's all there. It's all there. But they were still lost. Now I want you to see something. Look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, what's happened? Jesus has completed his work here on earth. He's risen from the dead. He appears unto them, the apostles. And in verse 20, it says, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. This is when he showed up and said, peace be still. And he shows unto them the hands, the sides. The disciples, they're glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, how had the Father sent Jesus? With his life and nature, correct? He says, okay, now the time has come for me to send you as the Father has sent me. And at that moment, it says, verse 22, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this was not Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. This is the moment they were born again. Think about what happened when God created Adam. It says he breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. This is the life of God being released into them. This is when they were born again. Now, let's see what happened at that moment that they were born again. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, now this is the same situation. You know, he's there with them in that room. He's risen from the dead and so forth. And in Luke 24, verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now look at this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. How was their understanding opened? The moment that they got born again, they now had the life of God in them, which had the capacity to fully comprehend everything that had been spoken from Genesis all the way up through the whole time that they were with Jesus Christ. They now had the life of God on the inside of them that was able to reach up and grab a hold of the life of God that had been stored in their minds all those years and draw it down and begin to assimilate it and put it in functional working order so that they could understand the fullness of, oh, so this is what David was talking about. So this is what Moses was prophesying. We have this life, this regeneration that's on the inside of us. Now we begin to understand this. And what we don't see is how long Jesus spoke to them in that upper room. But he begins explaining things and teaching things to them because now they have the life on the inside of them. Remember in another place, he said, there's so much more that I'd like to teach you, but guys, you're at overload. I can't give you any more right now. But don't worry, there's more coming. Look at this. See, the moment that they were born again, the life of God in their spirit, that new nature, was able to begin to work with all that word that had been stored in their mind. All that word that was there, it's now able to begin to tap into that treasure chest. Think of it another way. There's a new chamber in them. Call it the mind of Christ, if you will. And all of this life is now able to function as life in them because the life of that word that has been there the whole time is now able to work with the life of God's life on the inside of them. The word was made flesh. Okay, now that living word is in their flesh, if you will, and it's working with the word of God that's been sown in their minds all these years. Now they're able to tap into this incredible treasure chest of life that's been stored there the whole time. And as God look over in John. You're close to it. You're in Luke. Look over in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Now look at this. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So see, the Holy Spirit, I mean, all throughout history, up until, you know, this time, He's been here. He's been here doing everything He could to help people. However, there was a lost nature on the inside that prohibited Him from dwelling within them. In other words, from being what we would call filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus says, but you know, the time's coming where He's not only going to be around there with you, but He's going to be in you. Okay, well, praise God. But how do I benefit from that? Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Now look at this. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit, once He was in them, was going to be able to work with the life of God in them and the life of the Word that Jesus had been speaking and tie all of this together to help them understand the fullness of what they were supposed to do, but the fullness of the kingdom life, the kingdom teaching, the kingdom purpose, all of these things related to what it means to be born again. Because now the Holy Spirit had something to work with on the inside of man, and that was the life of God inside of man, because the life of God in us has the capacity and the potential to understand everything that has been recorded in Scripture. Even God Himself said, all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. All Scripture. That means all Scripture contains and is the living life Word of God, and it's compatible with who we are in Christ. But until this moment, all they had to do, all they had, was His life stored in their minds. Now, the Lord gave me as an example to me concerning all of this, to illustrate it, help me understand it even more clearly. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, like all good Christians, praise God. I was raised from infancy in a Southern Baptist church. Now, a lot of you are not familiar with Southern Baptist churches, but man, they pound the Word into you. They just, you know, some of the doctrine's not right, but they're very Word-focused. And Sunday mornings, we had Sunday school. And then we had the church service. And then Sunday evenings, we had what's called training union. And training union was like Sunday school at night, only a whole different teaching theme, whole different lessons and so forth. Then you had your service on Sunday night. Then on Wednesday night, we had Wednesday night classes. And then there were times when I got into the youth group, we had another night of Bible study that, you know, from different people's homes and so forth. So the word is being poured into me. The Word is there. But until I was born again, there was no life of God in my spirit that could utilize the life of God that had been dumped in my head. Do you understand what I mean? But the moment that I made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, at that instant, the life of God that was now alive in me was able to reach up and start drawing all of that living Word that was stored in my head and begin to put it to use. Now, let's say that happened to me when I was 16 years old. Actually, it happened when I was 14. But let's say that it happened when I was 16. So now here I am, I'm a 16 or 17, whatever. And here it is, that Sunday. And the sermon's been preached, and hell was hotter than ever. Heaven was brighter than ever. And the angels were singing. Okay, it wasn't quite, you know, that dramatic, but let's say there I am, you know, I'm 16, 17, 18, whatever. And the congregation is singing the 81st verse of Just As I Am. Those of you who've never been in a Baptist church, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That song has more verses than any song ever written. But then standing next to me is a guy, same age. We're both born on the same day. And this is his first time ever to be in church. He's never been in church. He'd never even seen a Bible, let alone read one. But yet, he's hearing the same, you better get saved, trust in Jesus message that I'm hearing. And so I make that decision. After 18 years of hearing all of this, I finally come to my senses and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, he's hearing this for the first time. And he realizes, boy, I need this. Yeah, I'm a sinner here. And so we both go forward to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But see, I've been raised in church and he hasn't. And all of a sudden, the life of God in me is drawing from that storehouse of living word in my mind to him. I am miles ahead in my spiritual growth. Why? This is the first day of his life to hear the word of God. There is nothing stored in his mind that God's life can reach up and begin to deal with. Do you see what I'm talking about? So now, I've been born again 10 minutes. I'm already in a position of being able to disciple him into at least maybe baby steps. And it's not that I'm a spiritual giant, but to him, I am. I've been born again the same length of time as he's been born again. But because all of that life has been stored in my soul and in my mind, the life of God in me is now pulling on that and drawing on that. And I now am able to understand it in a way I've never understood it. So I can turn to him and begin explaining things to him. And I just got born again myself. But that storehouse that's in me. See, this is one of the reasons why you can have some cults that, I mean, they've got the same King James that the rest of us do. And they've got more of it memorized than the rest of us. But they're really off on a bunch of things. But you know, you get them born again, and the life of God is going to be able to draw on all of that living word that is stored there in their soul. Immediately, they're going to have a better understanding. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And look at the first part of verse 18, and all things are of God. So the moment that I'm born again, there's something new about me that had never existed in me before, and that is my born again spirit. Oh, I had a spirit, but it was lost. Well, see, now I've got a new spirit, a born again spirit, a new nature on the inside of me. And that new nature has come to me, given to me from God. Now look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So here I am, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There is a new something in me, which is the new life of God. To me it's new, to God it's not new, but to me it's new because I'm a new creature. Well, I'm born again by the incorruptible word of God, the living word of God. So this life, this nature in me is fully 100% compatible with the Word of God. 100% compatible. 100%. And this is why I now have the capacity to understand all Scripture, no matter what. I have the capacity to understand all of it. This is why when a preacher stands up, and I used to believe this way, but when a preacher stands up and says something like, well, there are some of these things in the Word of God we're never going to understand till we get to heaven. That is a lie. Now, it's true we might not understand them, but it's incorrect that we don't have the potential to understand them. Because the life of God in me is compatible with this written word or the written form of God's life that I hold in my hands. Therefore, what is in me can relate to what is written. And not only that, but what is in me hungers for what is written, the Word of God. Now, this is where we come to a critical juncture. Because my born-again spirit is fully compatible with the Bible. 100% compatible. But if I don't have some help along the way, then I can take the Word of God that God's life in me is working with, and with my mind twisted out of order. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why I need two critically important additions to my life, if you will. Number one, I need a line-upon-line teacher in my life. I don't need somebody that's going to scream and shout every service. I need somebody who understands the Word of God. And I mean understands it line upon line, precept upon precept, who can stand in front of me and share the Word of God and teach me the Word of God and lead me step by step through the Word of God so that the life of God in me and the life of His Word in my mind are working together in proper order to establish me on the narrow path of truth that's going to keep me on the narrow path of truth. You understand what I mean by this? So number one, I need a line upon line teacher. Not just somebody who sounds good, but somebody who knows what they're talking about. Number two, and most importantly, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look over in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, and look here in verse, we'll just kind of read part of this. This is a prophecy of how God wants to teach us. In verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people. That word, that phrase, will speak, part of its definition gives the image of will he teach to people. So here we see God saying, this is how I'm going to get involved with the lives of my children. This is how I'm going to teach them. I've established the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but I want to have personal teaching time. I want to be their personal tutor away from church class time. I'm going to work with them on an individual basis. And he says, I want to get them to the point to where they are beyond just the basic entry-level milk of the Word. He says, I want to take them into the very depths of my Word. I want to take them beyond the surface of Scripture and take them into the great wells of salvation that are revealed through my Word. And how does he do that? The Holy Spirit. As I begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to take the Word of God and apply it to me and explain it to me and break it down to me in a way really that no human can. See, this is where a true, genuine, line-upon-line teacher comes from. It's somebody who's gotten into the Word, spent time with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and they're able to stand up and teach in the way that the Holy Spirit has taught them. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Quite frankly, I don't want to spend my time listening to somebody who does not pray in tongues. I just don't. It doesn't mean that they're going to be wrong in everything they say. I want to listen to somebody who has sat at the feet of the tutor. Somebody who has sat at the feet of the teacher. That's what I need in my life. And so therefore, do you remember yesterday evening when Brother Gary was ministering and he had like all these notes that he was supposed to use? Well, no, that he thought he was going to use. But then all of a sudden, I mean within a couple of minutes, he goes off in this other direction about all these wrong teachers. How that they can sound so good and so on and so forth. And he goes into explaining, you know, where the error is in a lot of their doctrine. And the longer he was speaking, the bolder he was getting in what he said. Remember that? And you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. Okay, Gary, whatever you say, whatever you say. And then he says, if you're listening to those people, how was it he said it? Stop it. Stop it now. I'm telling you, stop it. It's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll stop it. That's it. No more. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened to all the notes, Brother Gary? But as I'm sitting there listening to this, the Lord began to minister to me, and he explained to me why that happened. It's because there was at least one person in the service last night who was either leaning in the direction of those teachers or has been walking their path. And if you're here today, that was a warning from God to you that you're headed in a direction that ultimately will lead to your destruction. You're going to follow it all the way, completely away from Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Then why would God do what he did last night? God is trying. God went after, you know, he left the 99 and he went after the one last night. Or the two or the five or the whatever. That's why that happened last night the way it did. Because God was so concerned about what's happening in somebody's life. Now, look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. See, what can happen is this. Now that I'm born again and the life of God in me is fully compatible with the Word of God, and to the advantage that I had growing up in church, well, the moment I got born again, then that life of God in me was able to start drawing all of that. Well, then I start hearing this message about, you know, praying in tongues and what it will do. So, okay, praise God, I'm going to pray in tongues. What can happen is I can begin to get to the point to where by virtue of my association with all of you, I can begin to see myself as being further along than what I really am. Well, I listen to the prayer center sermons. I go to the conference every year. I'm better than you. Now, that was an exaggeration, but remember earlier what I was saying about, have you listened to these teaching series? If you haven't, you know, why are you here? I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm trying to help us understand this. Now, look here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, granted, in verse 22, that's a capital S Spirit, but it's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about our born-again spirit. Because the moment we get born again, we have God. We're not deity, but we have God's life, nature, and character as a part of our existence. That's who we become as born again in Jesus Christ. Well, verses 22 and 23 are, if you will, a description of God's character and nature. I mean, this is who God is. So as now that we're born again, our born-again spirit has the potential to do what? Bear this fruit. Okay, now looking at this list in verses 22 and 23, what's missing? The Word. The Word is not in there. That's because, now listen closely to this. The Word is not the fruit of the Spirit. The Word has to be sown before it can come out. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why we have to have the teachers. This is why we have, you know, the fivefold, as people refer to it. Because they're supposed to be at a place in God of understanding Scripture to begin delivering it to us and teaching it, like Pastor Dave did for us, teaching it. But then we have the responsibility to begin to put it in ourselves. Turn to James chapter 1. This is part of the reason that Jesus was teaching what he taught in Mark chapter 4 when he said, you know, the sower sows the word. That wasn't simply a matter of, you know, you guys need to hear the law. No, he's looking beyond the cross. And he's teaching a kingdom principle that as Christians, we have a responsibility to sow the word. The word, to sow it. Why? Because that's the life of God. And the life of the word is now compatible with my born-again life in me. And so the two can work together to bring maturity in my life so that I live as Christ in the world. In James chapter 1, look here in verse 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that phrase. Superfluity of naughtiness. It's like, okay, who comes up with this stuff? That's just like lewd fellows of the baser sort. Why were they lewd fellows of the baser sort? Because they participated in superfluity of naughtiness. You talk like that, people think you're smart. But he says, now, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Time out. What did we hear from Nathan? Sunday morning. You stop it. God's not going to stop it for you. You stop it. Because the power of God's life in you is such to where you can stop it if you want to stop it. But if you don't really want to stop it, you will say, I can't stop it, because you like doing what you've been doing. And then you put on the false front. Wow, yes, I know it's wrong. Oh, yes, y'all. Oh, but I just can't seem to. Yeah, you can. Well, if you come here, you know you can. You go to some churches, they're going to tell you you can't help it. So he tells you, look, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. But look at the last part of this. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's not cause you to get, I'm already born again. This was written to people who are born again. He's talking about receive the what? He didn't just say receive the word. God expanded on it and said receive the engrafted word. Now, I won't get into a whole lot of lengthy definition, but that word engrafted, it comes from a Greek word, and it's a compound Greek word. The image it gives is you're taking something from without and grafting it to something within. So in other words, the word is without. It's not presently in me. I'm born again by the word, but the word is without. So now what I have to do is take the word and engraft it to the inside of me, so the life of God in me can work with the engrafted word I put on the inside of me, and then I begin to grow. And as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to complete, if you will, this engrafting process to bring forth the fullness of the life of the word in me, that I become everything that God wants me to become. It saves my soul because it begins changing the way I think about me and you. Praise God. You know, yesterday morning when Brother Nathan got up and he said, okay, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And, you know, that's where it talks about be transformed. You know, don't remain conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and be able to, you know, comprehend the good, perfect, accepted. And then I thought, you know what? I told him, I said, you know, I almost stood up and told you to hush. Said, you're getting on my sermon there. You know, don't be preaching my sermon. But look in Romans chapter 12, real briefly. Real briefly. There in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, my brothers in Christ, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It makes just sense. It's common sense you would do this. It makes perfect sense. All your friends and family members that criticize you for giving so much time to the word, they're clueless. He says, and be not conformed, or do not remain conformed to this world. Well, what do you mean don't be remain conformed to this world? Well, it's talking about the world's way of thinking and analyzing situations. Be not not simply the way you live, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'm renewing my mind so that it lines up line upon line, precept upon precept with the word of God, so that the life of God in me and the life of God working in my mind are all working in unity with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I am working out my own salvation. I am living in the fullness of what I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to develop. Now, if I begin to back off on sowing the word, the weeds of life will begin to move into the garden. And they'll begin to produce wrong thinking, wrong believing, and I can, if I don't watch out, I can end up going from, Father, I know that was wrong, and I repent, and I just receive your forgiveness, and I think I can go from that to, hey, The blood of Jesus took care of it, man. The grace of God is such to where I don't need to repent anymore. I mean, it's been settled. It was done for at the cross. So what I do in the flesh is not as critical as what those people say. You see what I'm getting at? This is why I have to continue to just keep sowing the word. That's part of why you guys are here. You're here for the word to be sown. You know, when we have our conferences, we've actually had people call our church to find out, is Pastor Dave Roberson going to be ministering? It's like, well, no, he's not going to be here this year. In fact, this year we got a phone call. And somebody asked, is Pastor Dave Roberson going to be there? Well, no, he won't be here this year. Oh, okay. It'll just be the regular people. And it's like, well, okay. Yeah, I eat my fiber. I'm regular. Praise God. Now, the moment you got born again, if you're raised in church, the moment you got born again, that life in you is doing everything it can to pull all that life from your mind into a workable application for day-to-day living. Because it's there. It's there. If you're, if you got born again and you were never in church, okay, well, you're not left out in this. Sow the word. Because see, what happens is, the moment you're born again, it's almost like you, how can I say this? The effectiveness of Scripture is increased because you're born again. It's almost like, you know, you're taking it into your mind, and your born again spirit is able to immediately begin to access it and work with it. And then when you begin praying in tongues, you are multiplying that effort many times over. You are actually accelerating your spiritual development. Listen, I can tell you right now, if it hadn't been for praying in tongues, I wouldn't be here today. Oh, I'm sure I'd be serving the Lord and so forth. At least I hope. But I wouldn't be here today. I am a byproduct of the application of the teachings I heard. This should be an encouragement to every one of you in here. I don't know what you're called to be. I really don't. But if you do this, you know, this the total image of what I've shared with you today about the Word and our spirits and so forth, if you do this and you begin praying in tongues, guys, God's going to be able to put you in full sprint mode. You're going to accelerate your spiritual growth and development. You can't not increase it. It happens. Now, you might be here thinking, well, boy, I tell you what, this sounds pretty good to me. Glad I came here this week. But we got a major problem, Brother Martin. And that is, you know, I'm born again. I mean, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But, well, I can't pray in tongues. And, you know, I'm kind of concerned about this. Ah, don't be concerned. That's an easy thing to fix. Hey, you can fix that easier and quicker than you can a flat tire. What's happened is a lot of people grow up in churches that believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, but they confuse it. I mean, they add all this stuff to it. They, you know, hold on, brother, hold on, turn loose, let go, and you don't know what to do. It's confusing. And in some churches, when they want folks want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, somebody come out to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the whole congregation boom, charges up and gangs up around them, and they're terrified. It's not supposed to be like that. Well, you know, brother, you got to tarry. No, you don't. You don't. You just receive. I mean, it's a gift. You just receive. And the thing about praying in tongues is you have to use your own lips and you have to use your tongue. Oh, you have to use your tongue. You have to use the breath in your lungs, but you also have to use your physical human energy to move your lips and tongue. You have to. Now the Holy Spirit, He releases to you the language that's coming out, But you're the one who has to use the energy to the Holy Ghost is not going to just like grab you in a headlock and just jack your jaw around or something. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You have to do your part. And this is what messes up a lot of people because, you know, they'll be standing at a prayer line to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they'll kind of like stand there like this, waiting. It's like, no, you move your mouth. You know, well, what do I say? I don't know. I'm not the Holy Ghost. you just, it's going to sound like gibberish. It's going to maybe sound like baby talk. It'll sound like you're making it up. Oh, that's a big lie of the devil. You're making it up. Well, I just feel like I'm in the flesh. You are in the flesh. But you're not praying out of or of the flesh. You understand what I mean by that? You have to, and if you stand there, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, the Holy Spirit's just going to wait till you're done worshiping your Savior before he begins to give you that language to pray. He will not interfere with worship because part of his responsibility is to glorify Jesus. So what you do is you just pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you just say, well, Holy Spirit, I receive from you this gift of praying in tongues and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you just start, hola monka utipi sila dadiang herabata koshili diando kolomarant. And see, it may not sound like me. It's whatever the Holy Spirit will produce through you. Now, everybody go ahead and stand. If you're here this morning and you are born again, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've never had that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you'd like to have that today, right now. If you'll come up here and as they say, you know, put your toes on the green line, I will pray for you. Now, I don't know that you're going to feel anything. Some people talk, oh, it felt like hot water was all over me. Why, it felt like electricity was all over me. Hey, it's not about what you feel. It's just about receiving and praying. A lot of people don't feel anything, praise God. Is there anybody else? Okay. Now, you guys have heard what I've said about this and how that, you know, you have to move your own tongue and your lips and all that. And he's going to give you the language and it may not sound anything at all like what I pray. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead you in a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, kind of like a prayer to be born again. And then at the end of that prayer, I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, just right up here. And at the end of that prayer, I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And then I'm just going to start praying in tongues. And when I do, then you guys just start praying in tongues. And now you have to, you know, speak it out. You have to do your part. But don't worry about what it sounds like. It's what the Holy Ghost is going to be praying through each one of you. And what's going to happen is the person standing, there's somebody standing behind you. All they're going to do is pray in tongues with you. That's it. Just pray in tongues with you. And everybody out here, they're going to pray this prayer too, as support for all of you. And then they're going to start praying in tongues as well with all of us as a form of support. So just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
I thank you for being my Savior.
I thank you for being my Savior.
And I ask you right now,
and I ask you right now,
to fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life.
Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life.
And I ask you to give me the gift of tongues.
And I ask you to give me the gift of tongues.
I receive that gift from you right now.
I receive that gift from you right now.
And I will pray in tongues.
And I will pray in tongues.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Now I'm going to interrupt here just for a moment. One of the best things that you could do is, when this service is over, you know, go have lunch, whatever. And then go back to like your hotel room or home, wherever you're staying, and get alone and just begin to pray in tongues some more. Because I know sometimes a lot of people can be intimidating. I understand that. Get alone. Just get alone. And you'll feel more boldness, if you will, to pray in the Spirit. And what's going to happen is the Holy Ghost will continue to confirm to you, this is a miracle gift that I have given to you. And he'll confirm to you that this is of God. It's not your flesh. It's not the devil. It is a gift, a miracle gift that God has instantly, you're able to speak in a language you could never speak before and that your mind does not understand. But it is the language of God pouring through you and edifying you deeper into his will. And the more time that you can spend in tongue, praying in tongues, the better. And one of the things that I learned to do was as I'm reading my Bible to pray very softly, I mean barely a whisper, praying in tongues as I'm reading. And for some people, they have to work at it to develop that. But if you can do that, man, that helps even more. Praise God. I'm so happy for you guys, man. Hallelujah.